talk about something that is relevant to Christmas, and that is about God's mercy. Before I do, on a lighthearted note, I hope this will put you in a good mood. But I heard of a lady that showed up at the front of a church, and the usher met her and asked her, "Ma'am, where would you like to sit?" And obviously she was a visitor there, and she said, "I'd like to sit on the front row." And the usher said, "Oh, no, ma'am." He said, "You don't want to do that." He said, "Our pastor is very boring, and he'll put you to sleep. And let me seat you somewhere else." And she looked appalled. And she said, "Sir, do you know who I am?" He said, "No, ma'am." She said, "I'm the pastor's mother." And he hung his head in embarrassment and finally looked up and he said, "Ma'am, do you know who I am?" She said, "No." And he said, "Thank God." Luke chapter 1. Christmas is around the corner. But on that day when Mary and Elizabeth and different ones got together, I want you to notice that five times mercy is mentioned that does surround Christmas of the Lord coming. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 50, here Mary is prophesying, and under the inspiration of the Lord, she says in verse 50, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." In verse 54, "He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." Again in verse 58, "And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her." In Luke 1:58, we just read that one. In verse 72, "To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant." So here we have great mercy, tender mercy, five times mercy is mentioned. Did I mention five?
78.
Verse 78. "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." The first reference that identifies mercy with Christmas, it says that mercy is on them that fear him. There is mercy to the person that has a biblical fear of God and a respect for the Lord. There's mercy. And in speaking about mercy, of why we need it in our lives, it is, I think, rather obvious and rather plain, because all of our lives we make mistakes, we come short, and we're all aware of things that we did we shouldn't have done. And because of that, it's easy to look at our lives with guilt and have a sense of regret, and sometimes we feel like we blew it and we're all washed up, and it has a way of robbing us of our passion. I've had enough experiences of people sharing with me of how They've maybe made wrong choices. They've made poor decisions in so many different areas. It could be financial. They've shared how they didn't keep their integrity. And once they let go of their integrity and began to make wrong decisions, it was downhill. And I've heard where people have said it began to affect my marriage and began to affect my own personal life. And I remember one person, I encouraged this one to pray. And as he shared with me this terrible condition he found himself in, and I encouraged him, I said, well, why don't you pray? You know, the Lord can turn this around. And I'll always remember what his response was. He said, well, I couldn't expect God to do that because it was my own fault. It was my own making. The old expression, well, you made your bed, now you got to live in it. And he went on to say, I brought this trouble on myself. And he felt disqualified that he didn't deserve God's help because his performance wasn't up to par. Now, we can understand how God will bless someone when we're doing our part or they're doing their part and they're making right decisions and they're making good choices. And it's easy to expect the blessing of God and good things and expect that our dreams will come to pass. And but the beauty of mercy is even when we make mistakes and even when we are wrong and our performance isn't perfect, you know, God doesn't say, well, that's too bad. You had your chance. Now you're on your own. And but this is where mercy shows up. And God will not only help bring you out of the trouble that your decisions put you in, but God will even clean up the mess that happened by what has taken place. And maybe a relationship you knew that you weren't supposed to enter into, and you didn't feel good about it, but even though there may have been alarms that went off inside that said, you know, I probably shouldn't be doing this, and you ignored it. And now things are a mess, and it's causing heartache and frustration, or it could have been a job that you knew you shouldn't take. And but you took it, and you had feelings that kind of checked you and said, you know, I don't think I should take this. And you had an uneasiness on the inside, but you overrode them, and you did it anyway. Or now there's a mess, and you look back and you say, I knew I shouldn't have done that, and maybe you're not being treated right now. You know, God doesn't come to you at such times like this and say, you know, I tried to tell you. Maybe next time you'll listen. No, God is not holding that against you. He has you covered, and His mercy is bigger than your mistake. His mercy will not only help you turn it around, but God's mercy will even clean up the mess and help you to come out of it. And but if this is going to happen, then you can't go through life feeling guilty. God doesn't want you going through life feeling condemned and beating yourself up, because there is a devil, and he does disguise himself, and he does like to give us thoughts that we may think that they are our own, and but they are often from him, and he is the accuser of the brethren. And you can find yourself beating yourself up thinking, I shouldn't have done this, or I shouldn't have done that. And I remember a man, he said, I knew I shouldn't have hung around those people, but I did, and they began to have their ways rub off on me, and I picked up a bad habit, or I picked up this addiction, and I can hear someone say, I knew I should have stayed in college, but I didn't, or I knew I should have been more faithful in this relationship with that person, but I was short and I was impatient with them. But it takes boldness to believe God will bless you in spite of your mistakes. I want to say that again. It takes boldness to believe that God will bless you in spite of your mistakes, and the truth is, we all make mistakes. The accuser will tell you, you can't expect God to bless you. You made the mess. You went the wrong way and you were unfaithful here or you disobeyed here and God's not going to listen to you. Who do you think you are? When you have those thoughts, may you answer back and say, I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of the Upmost High God, and I fear His name, and I am forgiven, and mercy has me covered. And mercy is all about the Lord. And this is really throughout all of the Bible. Let me give a story in the Bible that really brings this truth home to our hearts. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to share the good news with the people there. But Jonah, he didn't want to go, and he wanted to do his own thing. How many ever want to just do your own thing? But Jonah, he didn't want to go. He wanted to do his own thing, and he went in the opposite direction. In fact, I just lost power. Testing. Well, that reminds me of Christians, hot and cold. And okay, we're back in the running. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He wanted to do his own thing. In fact, it says that he tried to escape from the presence of the Lord. And so he gets on a boat and he's heading in the opposite direction. And the Bible says that those on the boat encountered a storm, a big storm. And everybody on board knew that this was an unusual storm and it had signs that it could bring death. And they eventually came to the decision that it was Jonah, and they brought him up from the bottom of the boat and said, we believe that it is you. And Jonah, he got honest with them, and he admitted, he said, yes, he said, I am the problem, and I'm the one that's causing this problem. Now, they didn't say, that's okay, Jonah, we appreciate you being honest, and we're going to forgive you. Not on your life. They threw him overboard. They were not about to go down with him. So Jonah thought, you know, I'm just done. It was my fault. And he did exactly the opposite of what God told him to do. He knew what he was supposed to do, but he didn't do it. So here's Jonah. He's treading water in the middle of the ocean in a dark storm with the wind blowing and the waves up and down. And I'm sure he had thoughts like this. I'm getting exactly what I deserved. But God said, Jonah, you can run the other way, but you can't outrun my mercy. And this mercy, the Bible says, is from everlasting to everlasting. Wherever you go, it has you covered. In fact, the psalmist put it this way. If you go to the depths of the sea, or you even go way up high in the sky, no matter where you go, you cannot get away from God's mercy. His mercy will always be there waiting for you, calling your name and wanting to give you another chance, ready to clean up the mess that you made, because His mercy is so great it has you covered. And Jonah was feeling guilty. He was thinking that he was finished, or that the situation looked impossible. No way this thing is ever going to work out. No way this thing is going to where I'm going to see through. But God has a way when there doesn't even seem to be a way. And your situation today may be one that you feel like Jonah, that it can't turn out right. You've made the mess. And besides that, Pastor, my situation is complicated, and it's not just me. There are other people involved, and you may feel that the odds are against you. But I want to say today as pastor, be encouraged. God already has a solution. God has a way when you may not be aware of a way. He already knows just how to bring you out. Not only will He bring you out, but God knows how to clean up the mess that you created yourself and to make things better. And the Bible says all of a sudden a big fish came and swallowed Jonah up. Now here's Jonah. He's in the belly of the whale or this big fish. And in one sense, I'm sure Jonah is glad that he's alive. He's grateful he didn't drown. But in another sense, I bet Jonah has thoughts of, I wish I'd have died. It stinks down here, and I can't see anything, and I'm trapped, and there's no way out. And as we read in Proverbs today, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And Jonah's hope seemed like it was all gone. But sitting in the belly of the whale, thoughts were telling him, Jonah, that, you know, Jonah, you deserve this. You brought it on yourself, and it's your own fault. Besides that, I'm sure there was another voice that said, it's just too bad. You're going to have to deal with it. How many have ever heard someone say, deal with it? And I'm sure that he maybe even said back to himself, deal with it, Jonah. But the scripture says this. Jonah began to pray from the belly of the whale or inside this big fish. Now, he didn't say, God, I'm so undeserving. I've made such a mess, and I ask that you help me to survive. No, here's what the Bible says he prayed. It says, I cried unto the Lord in my trouble, and he answered me. Now, that's a statement of faith. He was still in the fish, still in trouble, yet he's declaring that God has answered me. He went on to say, I sank down to the depths of the ocean. Death was near. And when I lost all hope, I turned my thoughts to the Lord. O Lord, for you snatched me from the jaws of death. Now I will fulfill my vow. I know that salvation and deliverance comes from you alone. I want you to notice how much of his prayer was in the past tense. Almost like it had already happened. Jonah had this attitude. God, I believe you will not only rescue me, but I believe that you can even clean up the mess. And that you will bless me in spite of my mistake. In spite of my wrongdoing. And you can still fulfill my destiny that you have for my life. That takes boldness to ask God for God's blessings in spite of when you've done wrong. Because most of the time, many of us, we just live guilty. We live condemned. We lived with that feeling and we're down on ourselves and it robs us of our passion. And when you have the boldness to be able to say, God, I don't deserve it. I went the wrong way, but God, I still believe that you will bless me. And I still believe that you will show me favor. I still believe I can be the person that you created me to be. And when you do that, God is not going to say, who do you think you are? You know what you did was wrong. You should be grateful even to be alive. No, God is not going to say that. What he did to Jonah, as soon as Jonah got done praying, the Bible says that God caused that fish, that whale, to spit him up. I almost was tempted to say vomit, but I'm not going to say vomit, even though the Bible says vomit. But it did, up on dry ground. You know, because God controls the universe. You say, Pastor, you don't control your tongue. Yes, God controls the universe. And God can cause whatever is holding you back right now. It could be a legal problem. It could be a marital problem. It could be a financial problem. It could be a physical problem. But God can cause it to be broken and to be split in just a second and to release its hold on you because God is even in control of our enemies. And Jonah came out of this whale and he washed himself off. He is thrilled to be alive, and Jonah knew it was the mercy of God. Now, that could have been the end of the story. And if it was the end of the story, it would have been great. But God rescued him, And God saved him from the trouble, but God just doesn't want to rescue you. He wants to bring you out. And if you'll have a right attitude, shake off the guilt, and get your passion back, God will give you another chance to get to where you're supposed to be, that God always wanted you to be. You see, what I'm trying to say is that mistake did not disqualify you. You didn't miss your destiny because you had a detour. You didn't miss what God wants for you because you went the wrong way. The scripture says this, that the word of the Lord came to him a second time. And what did God say? Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. The same thing he said the first time. In other words, God didn't say, Jonah, I asked you to do this once, but Jonah, you wore me out. In fact, I had to get up off of the throne and go find a fish big enough to swallow you. Jonah, you just sit on the sideline right here, and I'm going to get somebody else to do what you didn't do. You know, I was watching the other day a football game, and this kicker, it was at the end of the game, and he was to kick this punt back. And this kicker, somehow, he got it in his mind that he could run the ball and get a first down. So the ball was here, and everyone expected him to kick and punt, and he took off and started running. Well, he didn't see that man that was right in front of him and tackled him. And everybody just dropped their jaw and thought, what in the world are you doing? And I remember this poor guy, I honestly believe he meant well. Yes, he made a mistake. Yes, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. For goodness sakes, it's a game. But he did the wrong thing, and his coach met him on the sideline, and I mean berated him, and he's in front of the whole nation being stripped down, and you can just, how many can mouth read some things that they're saying, and they should censor that. And I mean, he just tore into this kicker, and the kicker had his head down, and he followed him all the way over to the bench. And he's got his head down between his legs. He lifts his head. I'm talking to you. Aren't you glad that God doesn't treat us that way? And God came to Jonah a second time. He didn't say, what do you think you were doing? You wore me out and I had to find another. No. He came to him a second time. In fact, he doesn't not only come and give you a second time, he'll come a third time and a fourth time. And Jesus, who said that you are to forgive your enemies 7 times 70, don't you think God will also forgive 7 times 70? And it's not too late to become who God created you to be if you will start where you are. As the scripture says, mercy is for them that fear him. If you'll begin to honor God and fear God and be your best and begin to serve others, do you know that doors will begin to open and the right people God can orchestrate to show up in your life? Because God knows how to make up for lost time, and he can get you to where you wanted to be. The second time God asked Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh, and he obeyed. And he saw God do amazing things. The point is this. Jonah made a wrong turn, but it didn't destroy his destiny. God said, Jonah, you had a detour, but it's okay. I've got you covered with my mercy. You know, occasionally with my tom-tom that helps me go to where I need to go, occasionally I don't do what it says, and I'm not paying attention. And that woman on there, she'll say, you idiot, what are you doing? I don't know. It doesn't do that. What it does is it just reroutes it, and it gets to me where I'm supposed to go. It has me covered. But God's mercy is bigger than your mistake, and I still want you to go to Nineveh. I still want you to fulfill my best plan for your life. And maybe like Jonah, you've made some mistakes, and you've taken some wrong turns. You know, it's easy to sit down on the sidelines of life and to think, Brother Connor, I can't expect God to bless me. You don't know what I've done. I blew this relationship. I blew this job, or I blew this in this marriage, or I failed here and I failed there, and I lost my temper here, and I knew better, but I did it. I've made a lot of poor choices. Listen, you're no different than Jonah. You can either sit there on the beach, so to speak, and be glad that you're alive, or you can rise up like Jonah did and say, God, I blew it. I don't deserve it, but I know that salvation and deliverance comes from you. And Lord, I believe you can turn this mess around and still help me to become the one that you created me to be. And if you'll have that attitude like that, God will come to you a second time and God will give you another chance. You may be in the middle of a mess right now. It was your fault. You're not making excuses, but you don't see anything good in your future. But I want you to be encouraged. God has you covered by His mercy. And He's saying to you what He said to Jonah, I still want you to accomplish the dreams that I have put in your heart. I still want you to have a great relationship. I still want you to have a great marriage. I still want to bless you financially. I still want to promote you. I still, that has begun a good work in you. Your mistakes have not stopped me from doing what I am going to do in your life. You still can have a happy life. I have a destiny for you to fulfill. All of us can look back in life and see times where we made a mess. But God cleaned it up. We lost our temper. We gave in to the flesh. We gave in to this and to our lower nature. And we could have lost our job, but God showed mercy and cleaned it up. Today, there are many people in Christianity that have been restored. And when many see people that are blessed, we may think it's because they made all the right decisions and they did all the right things. And so I can understand why you're blessed. But if the truth were known, they may not be blessed because they made all the right decisions. They just didn't get caught. And God helped bail them out. And you're looking at someone that you think did all the right things. And I'm not saying some aren't. But people, His mercy is for people who have made wrong decisions. His mercy is not for those that have made right decisions, because nobody always makes the right decisions. There were some mountains that God knew we were not supposed to climb. But the opportunity looked so good. We did it anyway. And we took on this thing. We got halfway up and then we realized, uh-oh, I shouldn't have done that. I can personally thank God for getting me off of mountains that I never was supposed to be on in the first place. He could have said to me, you know, learn your lesson. Maybe next time you'll learn not to climb. No, the good news is He gets us off because mercy has us covered. I heard a believer share how he entered into a business deal, how he felt it was right, but he hadn't been in it very long when red flags began to tell him, don't do it, but he did it anyway, and yet God brought him out. Now God could have said, you didn't listen, I gave you the red flags, I had things that were orchestrated that you knew, but you didn't listen. You see, if God only gave us what we deserved, none of us would fulfill our destiny. God doesn't give us what we deserve because we deserve the consequences. The truth is, we deserve judgment. But God gives us mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. And He knows how to take our mistakes and turn them into miracles. And the accusing voices will tell us, you're done. It's your fault. You knew you shouldn't have done it in the first place. You pursued the wrong dream. You gave into the flesh. And you gave into your temper. Or you gave into this. And here you are. You can't make ends meet. God doesn't say just deal with it and accept it. God is merciful. He will take your wrong and He will make it right. That's what happened to Joseph's brothers. When Joseph saw them and he said, "You meant it for evil, but God took it and turned it for good. It may have been your fault, and you can easily live guilty, but mercy is for those who have messed up, and we've all messed up. And mercy is bigger than your mistake. It's a tender mercy," it says. "It's a great mercy. And we're covered by mercy. That means you're just not covered as long as you do everything right. Mercy is not for you just when you do everything right. You don't need mercy when you do everything right. Mercy is for you when you do wrong." And I know we do wrong. Let me say it another way. When you do dumb things, God still has us covered. Anybody ever do a dumb thing? I heard about a young man. He was raised in church. He knew the right way, but he got off track. He started hanging around the wrong people. He started partying. And one night at a party, he drank too much. His friends, now that he's pretty drunk, they dared him to climb a telephone pole. He wasn't thinking clearly. He climbed up that telephone pole about 40 feet in the air, as drunk as could be. And just as he's about to reach the top, he lost his footing. And he slipped. And he fell backwards. And as he's tumbling backwards to a certain death, somehow his belt, which had a buckle, and his leather belt, it got caught on one of the metal poles that was in that pole. And there he hung. It became almost like a harness, and it saved him. And there he was, dangling up in the air, 40 feet in the middle of the night. And the fire department came and rescued him. And the next day, the newspaper headline read, "Pants saved drunk man from a fall." People, that's the mercy of God. Even when we do dumb things, God still has us covered. The bottom line is, if it's not your time, you're not going to go. Nothing can snatch you out of God's hands. And so you might as well quit fighting the call of God on your life as Jonah did. God is not going to leave you alone. Wherever you go, He's going to be there. The Scripture says that God's callings are irrevocable. That means you are a marked man or you're a marked woman. God wants you, and you can try to ignore, and you can try and run, and you can try to drink it away or drug it away. And yet, after all, God is going to be there saying, "I want you to go to Nineveh. I have something for you to do. I have a destiny for you to fulfill." And the truth is, all of you have an assignment. Somebody needs what you have. And if you don't step into who God meant you to be, this world will not be as good of a place and as bright of a place as it should have been. And we're all going to miss out. We are covered by His mercy. Now, I can almost hear someone say, "Well, Pastor, that doesn't mean we can just live any way we want to." You're right. That doesn't mean you can go be sloppy and compromise and try to take the easy way out. Because I heard Pastor Connor say, "God will clean it up and He'll catch me even when I'm drunk." No, that is not a word from the Lord. You see, the truth is, when you really know God, His mercy is for them that fear Him. But if you do fear Him, then you're not going to try to see how much you could get away with and still feel good about yourself. Because deep down, that fear that you have for the Lord, you have a desire to honor God and to be your best. And the Scripture says in the book of Titus that God saved us not because of the good things that we have done, but because of His mercy. And that is the key. And His mercy is not based upon our performance. If it was only dependent upon a perfect life, never making mistakes, none of us would be here. You may not have been saved by your pants from falling from a telephone pole, but I wonder how many of you have ever done dumb things. I can admit I've done a few. Don't look at me that way. I'm holier than you are. That's a joke. We think that. Well, their sin's worse than mine. Every morning we should start our day off thanking God for His goodness, His blessings on my family. I should thank God for my friends, for my acquaintances. But then I also begin to thank God that He brought me out. And then we should follow up with thanking Him for His mercy when I didn't make the best decisions. And He brought me out and He cleaned it up. Even the times when He protected me, when I didn't even know He was protecting me. That car from colliding with me that I didn't even know was destined for me, and the devil had it planned that way. Do you know there are so many things God has done and protected you and you don't even know about it? Causing things to work out for our advantage, but He has you covered with His mercy. And the beauty is, it's not just when we perform perfectly. It's not just when we measure up. But it's even when we blow it, even when we fail, even when you pull a Jonah and you say, just leave me alone, I want to do my thing, He still has you covered. God could have said, Jonah, you want to escape? You want to get away from my presence? Help yourself. But God is merciful, and He pursued Jonah. You turn your back on God, but He'll never turn His back on you. You may run the other way, but God will always be running towards you. Sometimes someone might say, well, I've made so many mistakes and poor choices. I could understand God being compassionate after about the second or third one, but this is the fourth or fifth one. Have you ever read His mercy endures forever? I always remind people when they think that they're beyond His mercy, I like to remind you, you're not that powerful. You think your poor choices could stop what the Creator of the universe, the Most High God who has ordained you? You think that your mistake is too great and that somehow God is confused and He doesn't quite know how to figure out your situation? No, He knows how to figure out your situation and help you. God knows the end from the beginning, and nothing you have done can keep God from being merciful to you. God intended you to be who you are, but you have to do your part. You have to get back in the game. Start honoring God with a whole heart. Fear Him, and He will come and do what He does best. The story is told of a woman that was very depressed. Life had been rough, and she decided to end her life. She'd been brought up knowing the ways of the Lord, but even that, one can get discouraged. She went to bed on Saturday night with the plan to commit suicide when she woke up in the morning. But as she was sleeping early in the morning, she had a little dog on top of the bed, and that little dog began to scratch and make all kinds of noise, and it wanted to be let outside. But that little dog accidentally, there was a remote control in the bed, and that little dog carrying on hit the button, it turned on the TV, and there was a religious program. And the minister said, you don't need to commit suicide. God has a way for you, and God can help you. I don't have the exact words, but she knew that that was the Lord, and it wasn't a coincidence. And she got up and got dressed and went to the house of God that morning, and she answered the altar call, and the Lord completely turned her life around. You see, in the scripture, when God promised Abram that he and his wife Sarah were going to have a baby, he was nearly 80 years old. I'm closing. And even then, it was too old to have a baby. But they waited and they waited, and somehow thinking it would happen. But year after year, they still didn't have a baby. And Sarah got tired of waiting. And so talking about making a bad choice and a wrong decision and doing something dumb, she told Abram to sleep with her maid Hagar. So Abram went and slept with Hagar, and they had a baby. And they named that child Ishmael. But this was not the promise that God had made. And This brought all kinds of dysfunction into their home. Sarah got mad at Abram and said, "What were you thinking?" And Abram said, "Well, you told me to do it." And she said, "Well, you should know better anyway." And Sarah became very jealous of Hagar and started treating Hagar badly. And she finally gave Abram an ultimatum. She said, "Either Hagar goes and the child or I go." Now, God could have said, "Sarah, it's your own fault. You were impatient. You brought this on yourself." But no, he didn't. Even though Sarah made a mistake, even though she did something dumb, that did not cancel the promise of God of her later having the baby. In the natural, she was way too old, but one day God gave her a baby. And in spite of the dumb decision that she had made, God still carried out His promise to her, and her making the wrong decision did not stop the promise that God had made. God not only cleaned up the mess, but God made a miracle out of it. And the amazing thing in the story is this: Hagar didn't do anything wrong, yet her whole world fell apart. She was now kicked out, living in the desert, and yet Hagar didn't do anything wrong. Her son, who everyone called was a mistake, he wasn't the promised child. She didn't know how she was going to survive, but God came to Hagar and said, "Hagar, don't worry. I want you to be encouraged. I'm going to take care of you. And your son, who people think is a mistake, I'm going to bring out of him a great nation." God is so merciful. And out of a great mess, He made His greatness be shown. God said, "I'm not going to let other people's poor choices ruin your life." And I want to close with this thought. God will not let other people's poor choices that have affected you ruin your life. It's one thing when we make the mess, when we have to deal with it. We can understand that we brought the trouble on ourselves. But when other people make the mess and it affects us, that doesn't seem fair. And maybe you're suffering today, not because of your mistake, but because of somebody else's unfairness, because of somebody else's mistake, and you're going through it. Ishmael couldn't choose who his parents would be. He couldn't choose where he was to be born. Hagar didn't ask to have a baby born. She was only obeying and doing what she was told to do. And you may be in a mess today, and it was somebody else's fault. Sometimes a wife will say, "I have to suffer because of your decision," or a boss, or someone else's fault, and they caused you to be at a disadvantage. But I want to say to you, be encouraged. God is saying to you what He said to Hagar: other people's mistakes are not going to ruin your life. They may have put you in a disadvantage, but know this: God's mercy has you covered. And He's going to bring greatness out of a great mess. And friends, nothing you have done disqualifies you. You may have made poor choices like Sarah, but God is still going to bring the promise to pass. Debbie, would you come, please? You may have made a wrong turn like Jonah, but God is still going to cause it to turn out right. It may be somebody else's choice that's had a negative effect upon you. But don't worry. God is going to turn it around and use it for your advantage. So I want to close and say, take off the guilt. Quit listening to the accusing voice. God's mercy has you covered. If you'll do this, I believe that God will not only bring you out, He will clean up the mess and is going to make a miracle out of your mistake. He'll make a miracle out of somebody else's mistake, because all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. It doesn't matter who's reigning in the White House. It matters who's reigning in the heart. And we may think that there's decisions being made that is affecting us. And I don't deny that, but I want you to know that nothing is greater than God's perfect will, and nothing can keep back God's blessings upon your life. And therefore, I want you to put your eyes on the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning, please? And know this, that God's mercy is greater than any enemy. God's mercy is greater than any mistake. God's mercy is greater than any enemy. God's mercy is greater than the devil. And Paul said this, "For I am persuaded and I know that neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come shall be able to separate me from His mercy." He'll work in you the miraculous. And therefore, I want you to know that. And with knowing that, you can enter into His rest. But may God help you not to be living in guilt, living in condemnation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Surely, God, you are great, and you will bless, and we will look back and say, His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord. Speak to the hearts of people that this message was intended for. The altars are open this morning. I hope you'll come and pray and let the Lord know you're trusting Him and that you fear Him. His mercy is for those that fear Him. Would you come and let God give you peace? Let God let you know His mercy is great. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. We sing, "Mercy drops around us are falling." His mercy is bigger than a drop. Thank you, Jesus.